Masechet Megillah, Perek Aleph, Mishnah, Yud Aleph. So in the previous Mishnah, we discussed that both in Shiloh, when the Mishkan was there, and eventually when the Beit HaMikdash was built in Yerushalayim, Bamot, private altars, became outlawed. People weren't allowed to set them up. Everything had to be centralized, either in Shiloh or in Yerushalayim. So they are very similar in one respect, but here in our Mishnah, we're going to point out situations where they differ a bit. Mishnah says, "En ben Shiloh l'Yerushalayim, ela shebishiloh ochlim kadashim kalim, u'ma'aser sheni b'chol haro'eh, u'b'Yerushalayim lifnim mina choma." Mishnah says there's no difference between Shiloh and Yerushalayim besides the following. In Shiloh, they were allowed to eat kadashim kalim. Kadashim kalim are korban todah, korban shelamim. Korban todah applies to when a person is freed from jail, when he crosses a sea, when he recovers from illness, or when he crosses over a desert, or shelamim, translated as a voluntary offering or a peace offering that a person brings, he's allowed to partake of those korbanot, and he also can consume, he can eat his ma'aser sheni. Ma'aser sheni was during the first, second, fourth, and fifth year of the cycle of Shemitah. A person would be obligated to bring his produce to Yerushalayim and consume it there. If it was too large to bring it with him to Yerushalayim, he was allowed to be podeh, he was allowed to redeem that produce with money, and then eventually bring the money to Yerushalayim and spend it there. So all of these things, the kadashim kalim and the ma'aser sheni, a person is allowed to, in regards to Shiloh, allowed to eat it whenever he is bechol haro'eh, whenever he is in the vicinity of the bayit, of the Mishkan itself, according to the Rambam. Whenever a person can see the Mishkan itself, he's allowed to partake in these kadashim kalim and ma'aser sheni. Rashi differs from the Rambam. He says, no, not from actually seeing the Mishkan itself, but Rashi holds when you can see the city of Shiloh. If you can see the city of Shiloh, you're allowed to partake of those things, as opposed to the Rambam. So a little machloket over there. Mishnah says, though, u'birushalayim, but when we're talking about the Beit HaMikdash, it's lifnim min ha-choma. A person has to be within the walls of Jerusalem in order to partake of kadashim kalim or of ma'aser sheni. So if he's behind the walls, if he's past the walls, but he can still see Harabayit or the Beit HaMikdash, a person is not allowed. So that's the one difference between those two places, Shiloh and Yerushalayim. Mishnah continues and says, V'chan v'chan katshe kadashim ne'echalim lifnim min ha-kiraim. In both places, in Shiloh and in Yerushalayim, katshe kadashim, which are, for example, a hatat, a korban hatat, which a person brings when he sins by mistake, or an asham, when he sins on purpose, they're ne'echalim lifnim min ha-kiraim. They're only eaten within the curtains of the Mishkan or the Beit HaMikdash. And these are only eaten by the Kohanim. They are not eaten by the person who is bringing this offering. So that's one similarity we have between them. Kidushat Shiloh, yesh ahareha heter, uktushat Yerushalayim, en ahareha heter. Yesterday we spoke a little bit about after Shiloh was destroyed, Bamot became allowed once more until the Beit HaMikdash was built. So what we're saying over here is, after Kiddushat Shiloh, even though Shiloh, the Kiddushah, was established, after it's destroyed, yesh ahareha heter. There is an allowance for a person to build a personal bama for himself after the destruction. It doesn't become outlawed fully once Shiloh becomes destroyed. But once HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Yerushalayim as a spot for the Beit HaMikdash, even though Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, that spot remains sanctified, and all other bamot, and making a personal bama anywhere else is asur, it is outlawed. Masechet Megillah, Perek Bet, Mishnah Aleph. Mishnah says, HaKore et HaMegillah leMafreya lo yatza. If somebody read the Megillah out of order, for example, he reads Perek Bet, then he reads Perek Aleph, then he continues in the Megillah with Gimel Dalet, Hey, and so on. He does not fulfill his obligation because the Megillah has to be read in order. It has to start from Perek Aleph all the way through. And the reason that this is like this, that we have to have the Megillah in order, is the Gemara learns out, and the Rambam also says in his Perush, is because we have the Pasuk Nizkarim v'Na'asim. It has to be remembered and it has to be done. And when we're saying Na'asim, we understand that this means that the Purim of the cities with walls around them in the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, which are really supposed to happen one day later, on the 15th, those in no situation whatsoever can happen before the Purim of the non-walled cities. So same thing, we say as well. the reading has to be in order, just like the observance of Purim by the different towns has to be in order. You have to have the non-walled cities first. You can never have the walled cities earlier than them. Same thing with the reading. The reading has to be in order from Perek Aleph till the end. Mishnah continues, Kira'a al peh, Kira'a targum becholashon lo yatsa. If somebody read it by heart, if they knew the Megillah by heart and they said it, they do not fulfill their obligation either. It has to be read from a Megillah. It has to be read from a Sefer. And we learn this out also from that pasuk of Nizkarim v'Na'asim. We have this word Nizkarim, remembered. And we learn it out from a Gezerah Shava, a common word, in a pasuk in Shemot, after Bnei Israel fought Amalek. Moshe tells Yehoshua, K'tov zot zikaron ba'sefer. Write this as remembrance in a book. So we see a zikaron is connected to book. So therefore, if we're trying to accomplish our own zechira, our own remembrance here on Purim, it has to be by a book, and it cannot be be'al peh. The Mishnah said, "Kira'a targum becholashon lo yatsa." If somebody read it in a foreign language that they did not know, for example, I speak English and I want to read the Megillah in Italian, in any other language like that, lo yatsa, I did not fulfill my obligation. Aval korin ota lo'azit bela'az. But if a person did understand a different language, for example, I know English, and I read it in English, I read the Megillah in English from an actual sefer that's written in English, yatsai, person fulfilled his obligation. The Bartenura says over here that this is only talking about the avad. This is only talking about if a person doesn't know Hebrew. It's not a lika tahila. It's not the best situation where a person should be reading in this other language and have a scroll written in another language. Rather, the best possible situation is to read it in Hebrew. If somebody who spoke a different language and he did not know Hebrew heard the Megillah or read the Megillah in Hebrew, yatsa, he fulfilled his obligation. Because we say, since Hebrew was so well known, I think especially in those days, that even though a person doesn't understand every single word there in Hebrew, he will know some of it. He'll understand the general gist of the story is what the Rambam says. He'll understand it klal ha-ma'aseh, in general, what's taking place when it's read in Hebrew. The Gemara and the Rambam over here elaborates on it, says that the Greek language has the same deen, has the same law, that if a person heard the Megillah in Greek and it was read from a Greek scroll, he fulfilled his obligation even if he doesn't know Greek, even if he didn't know Greek, and the same rule would apply since it was so well known in those times, as well as the Greek language being a Lashon Nichvedet, a very honorable language, as the Rambam writes over here, it was considered to be allowed when a person read the Megillah. So if he didn't in any of those situations, even if he read it in Hebrew or Greek, and he didn't know the language, but it was written, the scroll was written in one of those two languages, a person still fulfilled his obligation.